G'day and welcome to Partake. We are now on day 27 of our series Glimpses, looking at the entire story of the Bible in just 30 days, from the time of creation through to the time of the fullness of redemption. The birth of the church has come. The Holy Spirit has come to live within believers in Jesus Christ as part of the fulfillment of the new covenant we have looked at. The early church was seen to be dynamic and to be exercising the authority of Jesus Christ just as he had asked them to do. But a couple of problems arise, just as Jesus warned about, which could have caused the early church to die young. There is a potential crisis, and then a real crisis. So firstly, our potential crisis. Let's read in Acts chapter 6, verse 1. But as the believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings of discontent. The Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. So there's good news and bad news. The good news, they were growing. Bad news, well, this had caused a problem as some widows were not being cared for, the Greek widows. Hebraic Jews had always lived in the then nation of Israel and spoke mainly Aramaic and some Hebraic. They would have been well used to life in a Jewish society, the temple being the focus of Jewish worship, and avoiding those who were not Jews, the Gentiles. Grecian or Hellenistic Jews were part of the Jewish diaspora, Jews born elsewhere within the known world, and had come back to Jerusalem. They mainly spoke Greek, but well used to working with Gentiles. Widows were and are important to God. God loves justice and mercy. The apostles would have known about God caring for the widows and in Jesus' teaching about justice for the poor and the oppressed. We know this because earlier in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4, people were selling and sharing possessions and ensuring that people within the Christian community were being looked after and cared for. Somehow, unintentional or not, this group of widows were missing out. So how was this crisis solved? And the solution can be seen in the next verses of Acts chapter 6, verses 2-4. So the 12 called a meeting of all the believers. They said, "We apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God and not running a food program. And so, brothers, select 7 men who are well respected and are full of the spirit and wisdom. We will give them this responsibility. Then we apostles can spend our time in prayer and teaching the word." It's not stated explicitly, but a transformation had clearly taken place. Only a short time ago, the disciples of Jesus had refused to wash feet as an act of service. Good old Peter. And then some had won in positions of power and greatness, James and John. But as they are transformed by the indwelling Holy Spirit, they react now much more righteously and judiciously, just as Jesus Christ would have done. Wow! So they gather all the believers together for a church meeting. They give their opinion, or judgment if you like, that their ministry or time would be better spent doing what God had called them to do. That is, to be leaders of the church, praying, preaching, evangelizing, and discerning how best to practically apply the 3 years of teaching that they had had when travelling with Jesus Christ before his ascension. Note also that these apostles didn't say their work was more important than serving food. Other people in the church gathering, who had a ministry of service and overseeing the food distribution, could spend their time doing that. And the result, Acts chapter 6, verse 7. So God's message continued to spread. The number of believers greatly increased in Jerusalem, and many of the Jewish priests were converted too. The result was even greater growth now. This growth was where the word of God increased in its effectiveness in the lives of those unbelievers who would listen to the gospel, this good news that Jesus had commanded them to take. This growth was not merely addition, but it was multiplication. So explosive was this growth that even former enemies such as the Jewish priests were becoming converts and started to believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. The church was preaching one thing and acting upon it. Remember the widows. There was no hypocrisy within this church. The church was transparent. It lived as it believed. The church was seen as transformative and servant-like. Transformation and change alone would not have been the catalyst for growth without the reasoning behind it. Instead of being a withdrawn people, filled with fear of retribution from the Roman government and Jewish leaders, they became a people filled with the Spirit, boldness and joy, serving God and others, just as Jesus Christ did and commanded them to do. But there was one further problem, and it was just as Jesus had also warned them the night before his own crucifixion and had prayed for them. So a true crisis soon appears, which almost caused the growing body of believers, the only church in existence at the time, to implode and die. All the power and the passion of the early church, however, had a cost. The early church endured persecution from the Jewish authorities, keen to exercise authoritarian rule. The early church was persecuted for Jesus as the Messiah. What was the result of this persecution? Did the church merely curl up and die? The world was changing then, particularly for the Jewish people. For centuries this nation had been expectant of a Messiah or a Savior. And when the Messiah, Jesus Christ, did come, they blinked and missed him. They had misunderstood what the Messiah was to do. The Messiah, the Savior figure, was not to lead a political revolution, as they thought, but rather to lead a spiritual revolution and bring people back into relationship with God. Just as we saw in the Old Testament covenants, particularly the New Covenant, the worldview of the Jewish people needed to be changed, and when worldviews need wholesale change of focus, problems always arise. The embryonic new church was soon to feel pressure to revert back to old ways of thinking. It's not long into this book of Acts, and therefore the history of the church, that persecution against them arises. We see the first stages of this persecution in Acts chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. While Peter and John were speaking to the people, they were confronted by the priests, the captain of the temple guard, and some of the Sadducees. These leaders were very disturbed that Peter and John were teaching the people that through Jesus there is a resurrection of the dead. They arrested them, and since it was already evening, put them in jail until the morning. However, somewhat surprisingly, we then read in verse 4 that, but many of the people who heard their message believed it. So the number of believers now totaled about 5,000 men, not counting women and children. And then we read in chapter 5, verse 29, the response of the apostles to this persecution and harassment. They said, we must obey God rather than any human authority. They were remembering the words of Jesus. The early church was not going to just give up their beliefs. One example of this persecution is from Acts chapter 6 and 7. And we read about the first Christian martyr, Stephen. Stephen had been hauled up in front of the council and he had to speak. And during his speech, Stephen reminded them that God did not dwell in buildings made from stone, such as the temple. Remember, the temple was the focus of Jewish worship. For God had also been with his people in various places, such as Mesopotamia, Palestine, and even Egypt. Stephen reminded them also of how the Jews had always rejected God's messengers and prophets, and now finally they had killed God's son, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. He also reminded them about what made somebody a person after God's own heart, that it was not the physical circumcision, but rather a circumcision of the heart. It was a spiritual revolution that occurred when people were in relationship with the living God, not just the outward appearance. His persecutors were livid with rage at this. Stoning is an awful and excruciating way to die. While Jesus had prayed to the Father in his dying moments, Stephen also prayed. But this time, he prayed to Jesus. Wow! Stephen sees Jesus in all his magnificent, glorious and heavenly majesty and can only cry out to him in such a way. And then finally, he asks Jesus to forgive those who have killed him. We see in Stephen's final words the reaction of a man full of faith and filled with the Spirit undergoing pressure and the face of an angel. We see Stephen's love and faith put into practice when he exclaimed as his last words before dying, Acts chapter 7 verse 59, "Don't hold this sin against them." And looking on was the leader of this persecution, Saul. If the New Testament church had known that Jesus did not rise from the dead physically, would the church have grown like it has for over 2,000 years? Would people like Stephen knowingly died or undergone systematic persecution for a known lie or mistruth? Our study. Next time, we will look at how King Jesus makes a brief reappearance. Then we look at the story of Saul and how the church moves on from these problems and commences fulfilling the command of Jesus to go to all nations with the good news about him. Thank you.